Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian Rachel O'Brien talks about getting into a serious accident while on vacation.
I'm on vacation. I've never been to Martha's Vineyard before, and so I decide to rent a bike. Now, when I got on the bike, I was like, it's kind of wobbly, or like it doesn't feel like the tires are super pumped up, but it'll be fine. And I lost control, tipped over, my head hit the ground, and then my hand.
Today on Storyworthy, comedian Rachel O'Brien talks about a trip to Martha's Vineyard that did not end well. Stay close.
Hey, it's Rachel O'Brien, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week with journalist Joel Stein. Joel Stein is an amazingly talented writer. Do you know who that is, Rachel?
Yeah, I think so.
He's written for the Wall Street Journal, the LA Times, and then he wrote for Time Magazine for 20 years.
I should know who he is then.
Yeah, he just actually...
Thanks for putting me on the spot.
He just retired last year. The point is, he told a story about mishaps in Hollywood and in his career, and you have to go back and listen, you guys. He is just an incredibly funny guy. He also judged an episode of Story Smash at the Improv.
Nice.
He was off the hook funny.
Really?
Very subtle. It's super funny. Anyway, you guys, so go back and listen to that. But not today, because today I'm here with a very talented comedian and a girl who's becoming a very good friend of mine.
Yes.
Comedian Rachel O'Brien.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hooray. And Rachel brings forth the topic vacation disaster. So I'm thinking we're going to be talking about a time she went on vacation.
And it was a disaster.
And there was a disaster. Now, I can't really think if I've had that many vacation disasters, but I remember my ex-mother-in-law went to England, looked the wrong way down the street, and stepped in front of a car.
Did she get
hit? She got hit, oh yeah.
How badly?
Badly.
Oh my God.
And they took her to the hospital. But you know, at the end of the day, they didn't charge her at all for the hospital fees.
Oh, well that's nice.
Yeah, I mean that's your socialized medicine.
Even if you're not from there?
Even if you're not from there. I know.
Oh, wow. That would have helped me out a lot. I basically just lit money on fire after this trip.
I see. Because you were in the United States.
Yes, I was.
Well, I'm anxious.
A very expensive part of the United States.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. You know, it depends. Are you near like a county hospital or are you off in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah. We'll find out.
I can't wait. I can't wait. You have a show called Be Here for a While.
Yep. It's my podcast.
A podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really funny.
Thank you.
And it's very entertaining. And it's you and your friends.
Mostly, yeah, where I interview other people that aren't, I don't necessarily know all that well. It's just people in the entertainment industry I find interesting.
Yeah.
You know, about their journey. But a lot of it is just like funny daily life events and mishaps and things.
Yeah. It's not, you don't have to be too serious on the show.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Sometimes I try to inspire people on it. I try to see like, you know, like based on what's going on in my life and like career, you know, ups and downs, I try to like inspire people to like follow their dreams and stuff, interwoven with funny stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a great show. I really do. And I'm
Thank
inspired
you.
Because I'll tell you, there's other shows that I've listened to, podcasts, because I listen to a lot of podcasts and I like to try other things out.
Really?
And there
You don't get sick of them after recording your own?
No. I listen to podcasts. Seriously, I have my earbuds in like as soon as I drop my daughter off at school.
Yeah.
And then they're in almost all day.
That's great.
And I'm listening to different shows. But and my point is that I've listened to a lot of these shows with girls your age in their early 30s. I'm in my
You mean my mid to late 20s?
Yeah, that's right. And I'm in my early 50s is what I'm in. but some of those shows, the talk is so crazy, like... I can't even explain it. Like, it's so ethereal or, like, vapid.
Simple, vapid, yeah.
Simple. Like, they're talking about every day they just lay by the pool and talk to their friends. And nobody seems to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have boyfriends and they talk about the boyfriends and all the people. Mm-hmm. Like we really know at home. And I guess their audience does know.
Yeah, I guess I'm sure they do, yeah.
But when I'm listening, here's what I hear. I hear, like, So anyway, I just got back from Palm Springs and I got a little bit too much sun, but I've got this new lotion, which is incredible. And anyway, Bo was there and he was like, I don't even know who you are. And I'm like, what? And he's like, you said, and then I said, and then Jenny walks in and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, what are those shoes? And I say, Bo, how could you be with her?
Not to be confused with my friend Stassi's boyfriend, Bo. She's not mimicking them.
Oh, I don't know. There's just a lot of names go on. Uh-huh. And it just makes me laugh so hard. So those shows, because you've been on Vanderpump Rules and you've done some reality TV.
Yeah.
Is that like a whole bubble that is just not my world? Is that what's happening?
I mean, they have a huge, following. A lot of people watch the show. The thing with Vanderpump Rules, I will give them credit, though. It is very real, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, they really do have genuine friendships that they've had for a very long time. Yes, they might be dramatic and drink too much and get in fights and stuff on the show. But for the most part, that is them living out their life. And it's not, it really isn't just one note sort of surface level conversations. They're really getting involved in some insane stuff in their life.
But like those people, do they watch Bill Maher?
Sometimes, I'm sure, yeah.
Okay. Does anybody volunteer for anything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're all really involved in, like, dog rescue stuff. Because Lisa Vanderpump is.
That's awesome. Yeah. So they're stepping over homeless people to get to a dog rescue. I get it.
No.
No, I'm just saying listen, that's what makes you interesting and me interesting because we're different generations. Mm-hmm. Kind of, we're coming from different schools of thought. And so I think that that's why we should have our own podcast together.
We're working on it.
I think we should do that.
We can't announce the name yet, though. But we're going to wait. It's in the works. We have it.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited. I'm super excited. Very, very, very excited.
So that's an announcement that's coming at you guys. That
and it's not going to be just vapid conversations.
No, we're not just going to talk. Well, we'll do some of that because I'm curious. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm genuinely curious about the people that find that interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so I think it's kind of cool. It's
might like an be escape. Half of your audience. We'll see.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's like an escape. Like, listen, when I was that age, I was like still watching the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I found an escape.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you guys, I'm really excited Rachel's here today, and you guys are going to love her story as well. So we're going to get to it in just a second, but before we do, I wanted to remind you guys to head over to storyworthypodcast.com and join my mailing list. When's the last time I said that? Exactly. It's been like 2 weeks. My point is, listen, I don't have to preach to you guys because you guys are my listeners. But if you could tell a friend today about Storyworthy, that would make my day. You know, it matters so much, doesn't it, Rachel?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like that's how you keep it growing and keep it going. Yeah.
Yeah. And now with so many cars now have Bluetooth in it. So I get into people's cars and I put Storyworthy, in their favorites right away.
You do?
Because I want to show them how easy it is.
That's awesome.
You can listen in the car. You can listen, on your smartphone, of course, and of course on
while
your
laptop.
While
you're working out.
Yeah, while you're working out.
On a flight, download one before a flight.
You guys know. Hey, Rachel, the holidays are coming up.
Yeah.
And, it's like, here we go again. What do I get all these people on my list? Well, this year I have the perfect idea. They're Homesick candles. And these candles are not only beautiful to look at, they're conversation starters. Because Homesick candles come in unique scents that reflect all 50 of the United States and dozens of different cities, college towns, and also different countries. So for instance, I'm going to send my mom one that is California. Not just California, but SoCal. So it's kind of like it smells of the beach and it smells of the outdoors. And, that's kind of me. Plus, these candles last a long time. They're great for family and friends who are homesick or somebody who maybe recently moved or travel frequently. And it's just a really nice reminder to somebody that you're thinking about them in a very personal way. And right now, Storyworthy listeners who go to homesick.com and use the promo code Storyworthy will receive 10% off any order over $50 and get free shipping. That's a great deal. You'll get 10% off and free shipping. So head over to homesick.com, use the promo code Storyworthy, and you will find a personalized gift for everybody on your list. And not just any gift, a gift they're gonna love, because who doesn't love candles? Right, Rachel?
Yeah.
Yes, I know. Exactly. So boom, you're welcome. I just took care of your entire holiday list.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys, let's get to her story right away. Rachel O'Brien, like I said, she's a stand-up comedian and an actress and a writer. One of those, it's like a triple threat.
Yeah.
Is what you are.
Thanks. I'm like J-Lo.
I'm going to have you bust a move.
Except for I can't sing. I can tap dance, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that popular with the kids?
No, it's not at all. but I do it sometimes when I'm out.
You have performed stand-up comedy all over the world, mm-hmm. and you've also done two tours for the troops overseas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your podcast, Be Here for a While, shot to the top of the comedy charts on mm-hmm. Apple Podcasts, and you've really developed like a full-on following.
Yeah.
I want your following.
Ah, no. You got a great following. Very popular podcast.
It's happening as well. You've also been on Story Smash, the game
show.
Yes,
I had so much fun. I want to be back on it.
You were on it like twice already, right?
No, just once.
Nuh-uh.
Get me on another lineup.
You've only been on one time.
Yes.
You're going to be on in November or December.
Okay, I would like that.
You heard it here first.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, you can also see Rachel on Bravo's hit TV show Vanderpump Rules, which recently aired its sixth season. Find Rachel over on Twitter at Rachel No Brian. I'm going to spell it for you because I'm a giver. RachaelNobrien. And it's the same handle on Instagram. Isn't that convenient?
It's actually Rachel N. O'Brien, but it reads as Rachel No Brian. That's what everyone says.
Yeah, it does.
It's my middle initial.
What's your middle name?
Nicole.
Nicole. Oh, that's sweet. Two cute names. Rachel and Nicole. I love it. Thanks. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Rachel O'Brien.
Okay. So, let's see. Would it be summer of 2016? Yeah, it's coming up on 2 years. Or it is 2 years, yeah. I was dating a guy at the time. We've been dating for about 3 years. And he was from one of those East Coast families where he went to boarding school. Let's just call them the Kennedys for now. They weren't, but like a world totally outside. I'm from a small town in Oregon. There was 3,000 people in the town that I went to high school in, 50 people in my graduating class. My dad owns a logging company. Like, we're, you know, outdoorsy, just rednecky people. Not redneck, not like, you know, politically redneck, but like just small town. I didn't even hear what a boarding school was until I started dating this guy. I don't even think we had private schools anywhere. So it was a totally different world than mine. And we'd been dating for about 3 years. We fought like horribly. So it was not, I don't know why we were dating that long. And don't get confused when I say he was like boarding school from that type of family. I also basically supported him. So I'm not really sure what the appeal was at this point, but listen, can't win them all. So we were vacationing in Martha's Vineyard, where his family had a house. And yeah, as you do when you're a Kennedy. And, you know, things were going fine, but he was always so lazy because he smoked a lot of pot. And he just never wanted to do anything. He was always like, let's just go lay in the hammock. I'm like, I don't feel like laying in the hammock on the porch of your aunt's house right now. Like, I'm on vacation. I've never been to Martha's Vineyard before. By the way, it's a beautiful place. It's no prettier than any other place that has trees and an ocean, though. Because when he brought me there, he's like, isn't this the most gorgeous place in the world? I was like, it's kind of a poor man's Oregon, but fine. It's. He's like, across the street, that's where the Obamas stay when they visit. I'm like, I don't really care, but great. So, yeah. So the vacation was like, it was just boring because he didn't want to do anything. And so the last day that we were there, he was helping his aunt close up the house for the summer because that's what rich people do. And I half-assed was like, how can I help? And they were like, no, you just relax. And I was like, perfect. I'm going to leave. So I said I was going to go into town, like walk into like the nearest town for like clam chowder or something. And when I got there, I saw a bike rental place and I was like, I really haven't gotten to see much of the island. Like, I feel like I wasted a week here not doing anything. I did jump off the Jaws Bridge, though. That was fun. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to rent a bike. Like, F it. Am I allowed to cuss on this?
Yes.
Okay, so fuck it. I was like, I'm going to be free. I'm going to do my own thing. And so I decided to rent a bike. Now, when I got on the bike, I was like, it's kind of wobbly, or like it doesn't feel like the tires are super pumped up, but it'll be fine. And so I decide to ride the bike about 4 miles into, I think it's called Eggertown. Now, to be fair, I was Snapchatting and riding the bike at first. I did almost fall about 3 times while Snapchatting. But those were like baby falls. They were fine. Everyone was good. And so I get into the town, I like look at it. I considered having a cocktail, but I didn't. So this was a totally sober fall. And so I look at the town, walk around a little bit, and I was like, I got to get back. And so I'm riding back, and I'd had a bottle of water that was empty. And for whatever reason, for the first time in my life, I decided to be like a super environmentalist. And the empty water bottle was like, it kept like getting caught up by the wind and almost like flying out of the basket in front. And I went to go save the ocean and not have my water bottle fall into the ocean and kill turtles. And I went to grab it and I lost control, tipped over, my head hit the ground and then my hand. And it did not hurt at all. Like I was like, oh, that was a bad fall, like back on the bike. And then all of a sudden I looked at my hand and I was like, holy shit. Like one of my pinky was like hanging off like my hand. My ring finger was like crooked going the other way. Like it was, and then I was like, oh my God, like what do I do? Like I like kind of, then I started to kind of like get like sweats and panic. And so then I laid on the ground and I didn't know what to do. And then I basically like shouldered myself to the side of the road like I was in Vietnam. Like I was like really dramatic. It was just like laying there in the grass. Like I've been hit. Like just panicking. And there's people in like Rolls Royces just driving by me, like living their life. No one cares until this guy in a pickup truck pulls over, rolls his window down and goes, hey, you're bleeding. Chucks a sock at me. It hits me in the head and then falls on the ground. And he goes, don't worry, it's clean. And then drives off. I was like, that is so weird and unhelpful and just like insensitive. And so I'm still laying there for like another like 30 minutes. I was like too shooken up to like pick up my phone. I didn't know what to do. So finally this nice lady named, I think, Pam, who owned a hair salon there. She was like a local, so she was more down to earth. And she came and she sat with me and she was like, you have to go to the emergency room. And I was like, I can't go to the emergency room. Like I can't afford, like I had insurance, but I was thinking like, this is out of network. This is going to be, it's Martha's Vineyard. It's going to be so expensive. I can't go. She's like, she's like, I'm either going to call you an ambulance right now. I was like, definitely no on that. And she was like, or you need to call someone. And I gave her my phone. I was like, can you please call my boyfriend? So he came, picked me up. We go to the emergency room. The guy was like, you need surgery. Like immediately. I was like, well, I have to go back to LA. Like this is not in network here. So he like re-breaks my hand, like a resets or whatever, puts this like gigantic, like sock puppet cast over my hand. And we have to fly to Boston, then back to LA. Anyways. So I get back to LA. I go to Cedar Sinai. I pick the best hand surgeon there is. He had no personality. He was very rude. He looked like Lurch from Adam's Family. And he actually, you know what? He had personality when my mom came in with me and then he would hit on my mom. And that was like the only time he was like personable. So he gives me a surgery. Then like, you know, I have to go for follow-up visits. Now, they used to, when you broke a limb, if it needed to have like metal or a pin in it, they'd give surgery. They would insert that metal, whatever it is in, close you up. The metal would exist in your hand for, you know, a while or forever. Apparently now they want to prevent scarring and there's ways to do it without permanently having metal in your hand. I would have preferred to have the scar than what he did. So basically what he did is he put four metal spikes, like about 5 inches long, into my hand during the surgery. So I wake up and there's metal spikes sticking out of my hand for an entire month. I have to wear this. Like, so when I go out, I'm just like hoping no one runs into me or something, which by the way, I still went out and had a great time. I went to a concert like that. Like I still lived my life with my gigantic sock puppet hand. So you walk around with this metal sticking out of your hand for a month. And then one day, and I know he's going to eventually take it out, but I think to myself like, well, I'll probably be in another like minor surgery or something. Like I'll definitely be under. So I used to go in like once or twice a week. I go in for a follow-up appointment like 4 weeks later and he looks at me, he's like, yep, I think it's time to take it out. And I was like now? He's like, yep. I was like, but I haven't even had Advil. And he's like, yeah, but it's painful, but it's so quick. I was like, can I have something? Can you give me some sort of drug? He's like, no, I find that it doesn't really do much. And I'm like, oh my God. So like Game of Thrones or like the end of the movie, The Saw, I'm not joking when I say he essentially put his knee on my chest. He didn't, but like he's across like a table from me, like forces my hand down, takes pliers to the end of the metal pins in broad daylight under very unflattering fluorescent lights and rips the pins out one by one out of my bone. And I'm awake and sober and not, no Advil, no Tylenol, no nut, like nothing. Rips them out. And then my hand never healed properly. So now I have a weird claw hand. So I legit just should have lit $12,000 on fire because that's how much it was out of pocket. So with the Martha's Vineyard emergency room visit, which was like $3,000, and that wasn't covered at all by insurance because it was out of network. And then what I had to pay for the surgery and physical therapy, it was $12,000.
Rachel, that is such a disaster.
It is horrible.
I'm so upset at the boyfriend. I'm upset at the guy in the truck.
Yeah.
And I'm upset at the doctor who pulled those spikes out. All right, let me start at the end. When he pulled those spikes out, was there blood?
Yes.
What is like happening?
I don't know. This is Cedars Sinai.
Was there a nurse
room? It felt like medieval time. No.
Was there a bandage in the room? Were you lying down?
I was sitting like how we're sitting across from each other. It was like just like kind of like a desk type of thing.
Yeah.
In like a small, I don't know, hospital type room.
And then he just pulled them out.
He just pulls them out. And by the way, it's hard for him to get them out because they're stuck in my bone. He literally needs pliers on the end of it. And he's cranking and ripping.
That is so upsetting. Did you pass out?
No.
Did you cry?
I closed my eyes and just put my head down. It was quick. I will say, I mean, besides the cranking, that when he finally was able to rip, it was so quick. And then the pain was basically over.
Yeah.
But it was just traumatizing.
It's traumatizing. Yeah. He could have put like headphones on or tell you.
Can you imagine if that was your daughter, a little girl?
I would have written to the director of Cedars Sinai and say, what the hell are you doing over there?
I don't know though if that's like the better I don't know. Would they do that on a little kid?
I don't know. How many follow-up appointments did you have after that?
Just like, checking in. And then when it didn't heal and it was like stuck, he was like, well, does it really affect your daily life? I'm like, well, it's my hand.
Oh my God.
He was very rude. Very rude.
And I'm going to live 55 more years.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to have arthritis because of this. But
so wait, did you do physical therapy?
Yeah. And that didn't work. It's because I guess I developed an incredible amount of scar tissue, probably because there was metal in my hand for a month that was then forcibly ripped out.
Okay, so let's go back to that boyfriend. Why, if he had a house, the summer house in Martha's Vineyard, why wouldn't he know where to take you to like an urgent care? Why would he take you to the emergency room?
Well, isn't urgent care an emergency room?
I don't think so.
I think
a hospital.
Yeah, but I think it needed to be. It was my pinky was like dangling off my hand.
Oh my God, that is so dramatic.
It was so dramatic.
And then I
had the balls to break up with him a few months afterwards. I was like, I'm gonna take this newly deformed hand on the road and be single and go on dates and not be able to cut my food.
It isn't noticeable until you look at it. It's your left hand.
Well, until you look. What do you mean? You mean until you look at it? Until I try to make a fist.
Yeah. So basically, it's like as if you have. You're showing somebody your wedding ring all the time because your hand's always sticking out.
Well, I finally have a thin hand though. So I have very big knuckles and chunky hands. This one is atrophied, so it's kind of an elegant hand.
Oh my gosh.
When it's
you
not
are
closed.
So funny. Do when you get mani-pedis, like when you get a manicure, do they try to straighten it?
No, because my hand's straight when they're doing it.
Yeah. Aw, you really wouldn't notice it. It's not noticeable, but Thanks. It's just also traumatic.
It's such a great memory of a boyfriend that I should not have dated for 4 years.
I hate him.
No, he's a nice guy.
I don't like him. How did you meet him?
How did we meet? Oh, we randomly met at Mastro's Steakhouse. He was there with his brother when his brother was visiting, like just at the bar.
Oregon.
No. In here. Mastro's in Beverly
in Los
Hills.
Angeles. Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Yeah.
In other words, we were young, and he was
mid-20s.
And he went to boarding school. That's when you learned about that he kind of had this Kennedy lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you're from small town Oregon.
Yeah.
And you meet in Los Angeles. But 3 years is significant.
Yeah. Well, actually it was 4 years.
That's really significant. 4 years. What did he do for a living?
Sometimes it didn't work. And then he was, an agent trainee at agency, which they don't pay them anything.
He didn't do anything.
No, he worked a lot, actually. They just don't get... They get paid, like, $25,000 a year.
Yeah. I guess I'm just thinking of him lying on the hammock and on the couch there and not wanting to do anything.
To be fair, though, his mom had died like a year before we met, and he was really in like a sad grieving process, and it was like, and it was kind of like sad how the whole thing went down with his mom. So that's why I gave him a pass. I didn't need to give him a pass for 4 years, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So what bridge did you say you jumped off of?
It's the bridge in Jaws.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
I don't know. It's a bridge there. That's because what they told me.
I just watched Jaws with my daughter. Alabama and I just watched it.
Well, it was filmed in Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, I knew that. Mm-hmm. So you don't think that's beautiful?
No, it's gorgeous. I'm from one of the most beautiful parts of the country.
I see, you're right.
Or, yeah, like Pacific Northwest, like Cannon Beach with those big rocks and the ocean and
Coos
it's green.
Bay and all that beautiful Oregon coastline. Yeah. But the thing with Martha's Vineyard is it's very specific, like Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, it's
definitely
pretty.
I haven't been in years, but I remember my first husband, his family would vacation there, and we would go up, and it was just so specific.
Yeah.
The colors, the light, the gray, the houses, the architecture.
I think the people there pretend like they think it's fun, though, because I'm like, and maybe it's because they're city people, but I also think they just bought into the fact that, like, we vacation here.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
Well, because four weeks a year,
it is
perfect.
You're not doing anything.
The thing with Martha's Vineyard is it's, like, perfect weather 4 weeks a year. Mm-hmm. And then it's like cold and raining, and I guess
that's why the locals, they got a bit of a, like a meth problem or a heroin problem
because they're bored.
Yeah,
because it's dark.
And the people
at 4 o'clock
that live there
in the afternoon,
year round and are just like the service workers.
Yeah, in other words, it's like built on tourism, and when that's gone, See, I'm not you and I are very much alike that way. I have to have other things happening.
Yeah,
I need stimulation. I grew up in a tiny town, and I know what that is.
Yeah. I remember being in a tiny town, and I have relaxed in small, beautiful places before. Like, I want to be doing something.
I hear you.
Or at least be like, if I'm going to be on vacation, I'm not someone that likes like tours or anything or super touristy stuff, but like, I want to see what I came here for. I flew across the country.
Yeah. And learn and see the culture, et cetera. Yeah. So I'm glad you went out on the bike, but I'm so, so sorry about the accident. Really,
it's
Rachel,
okay.
You didn't deserve that. Although the Snapchatting on the bike, that was probably not.
But that wasn't how I felt. Yeah. So. But I should have learned my lesson.
Did they pick up that water bottle, by the way?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, no, we went, because we had to put the bike in the back of his Jeep. And then,
oh, God.
I think the bike company thought there was actually something wrong with the bike, and I think they were very scared that I was maybe going to sue them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not going to take down this like mom and pop bike
You probably
place.
Also signed a waiver of some sort.
I'm sure.
Did you have a helmet on?
No, I did not.
You're
and I
lucky.
Did hit my head, but I have a very sturdy head.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Rachel O'Brien has a strong head. Hey, listen, we do have a big announcement coming up, you and I, together, about something we're starting. And so we'll do that here on my show, Storyworthy. And you'll do it on your show, Be Here for a While, of course. And so we hope that our audiences will combine to make like a superpower podcast.
It's going to be a great podcast.
It
I'm
sure
very
is.
Excited about it.
And thank you so much for coming today
thank
and sharing
you.
This story. I
Thanks
really
for
appreciate
having
it.
Me.
All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank my sponsors on the show today. And you guys remember, when you support my sponsors, you're supporting me. Thank you. It helps so much. And don't forget to head over and join my mailing list so you can be caught up with everything going on as well. All right, you guys, one more time on behalf of the lovely Rachel O'Brien. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy to get to know you better as well. Really. My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.